Our scripture reading is from the prophet Isaiah, and we're going to begin our reading in chapter 35 at the first verse. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. And now let's turn together to the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6. And this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, that beautiful message that Jesus gave. And in Matthew chapter 6, we're going to begin reading at verse 25. This is the words of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Friends in Christ, we live in frightening times. A lot of people are afraid. And we know that there is good reason. It makes sense. We understand why people are afraid. We hear the news about this coronavirus, and we hear what happens. We hear that people that are afflicted with it, sometimes that their lungs get in such terrible condition that they simply cannot breathe, and they must go on to ventilators to force air in their lungs and to pull the air back out so that they don't perish. That is a scary, scary thing. We hear about people that are isolated, that are by themselves. We're starting to worry about food security. Say these migrant workers are having trouble coming in, and they play such an important role in our food production. And what will happen if the crops can't be gathered in? We're starting to wonder, What changes are these things going to make in our society? What are the long-term ramifications of this social distancing and the impact? We don't know. We worry about our jobs. So many of us have been laid off. Many of us are business owners, and we wonder, what is going to be the consequence of shuttering my business for this long? Will my customers come back? Will I be able to continue? We wonder. We wonder how we're going to pay the rent. We wonder how it's going to impact our children. We are frightened people. And it makes sense that we are. It's a logical reaction on our parts. As we are here in April 2020, we think this is something new. Many of us have never experienced this kind of a reality. But actually, this isn't anything new at all. Do you remember, I think it was just 3 years ago, that the news was filled with another virus? It was called the Zika virus. It was a virus that was transmitted by mosquitoes, and if someone was bit, if a pregnant woman was bitten by a mosquito with the Zika virus, the impact on the fetus, the child within her, would be that the child's head would shrink and it would be born with a very small head with a reduced intellectual capacity. And that people were terrified. Of course they were. It was about 13 years ago that SARS was the virus that was affecting people and challenging people and threatening people. And there was great fear in the land 13 years ago because of a virus. In the early 80s, we heard of another virus that caused great concern and fear, and that was the AIDS virus. And people were afraid of it, and there were terrible discrimination that came because of it. And thanks be to God, slowly they are finding ways to treat that. But there were other ones. Do you remember hearing about the Spanish flu in 1918? This disease, the poor Spanish people got blamed for it. It actually apparently started in the United States, made its way to Europe, and across the world, so many people died because of the Spanish flu. Earlier in history, there was the Black Death, the bubonic plague, in which a very large percentage of the population of Europe perished because of the Black Death. People have been afraid for a long time. I looked back in my history books and I found out, I didn't even know this, that in the 2nd century and in the 4th century, there were massive plagues across Europe. And one of the reasons that the church was able to grow like it did is that the Christians were those who decided to stay and nurse the ill and minister to the dying. And people seeing how the church responded in that context of great fear and danger was the reason that so many thought we should give careful attention to this teaching of the Christians. People have been afraid forever. And the fact that we are afraid now means that we are human, and that we are experiencing something that is indeed frightening. It's in this context that we receive the message of these scripture lessons. We hear Jesus speak the message. He says so clearly, "Do not worry." I think these people had every reason to worry. They were living in an age when the Romans were in their land were incredibly violent towards the people that were in those lands, and there was every reason to be afraid. And Jesus says, don't worry. Things they would even worry about were health. If you can imagine that people, if they got a cut on their arm, if it got infected, that could be a death sentence. That infection would turn gangrenous and it would lead to their death. Back in those days, for a woman to become pregnant, the saying was that if you became pregnant, that you had one foot in the grave because infant mortality was so high. People worried a lot. Yet Jesus says to them, do not worry. See, there are three things that we should remember, and most people only think of two of them. They think of the fact that they are human, and they think of the threats that come against them. And when you know that you are a person who is fragile and vulnerable, and that there are things coming at you that you can't avoid and that you can't even defend yourself against, should they come to you, you know that is the proper situation for worry, that worry is logical, worry is rational, worry makes sense. But Jesus said there is one more thing to this equation. Not only are you mortal, and not only are there threats, there also is the fact of your God, who is your creator, who is more than that, he is your father. And if he is your father, you know that he loves you and he cares for you. He says, look at the birds. They're in the trees. Look at the flowers, the grass of the field. All these things grow and live and thrive because there is a God who tends to them. If that God is not just your creator, is also your father, then he is one whom you can trust. So if you have God on your side, you don't have to worry because you will never be alone. You will never be abandoned. You never have to face these realities by yourself, and those things will never have the last word. Therefore, don't fear, but trust. Before we read from the Matthew chapter 6 passage from the Sermon on the Mount, we read from Isaiah chapter 35. Another great time to worry. The people of Israel were living in Palestine, and it was a natural pathway for the great kingdoms of the south and west to meet the other kingdoms of the north and east. And they would, the peoples of the world would travel through Palestine. And therefore it was very important, very strategic location. And everybody wanted to control that land. And therefore they were always being invaded and captured and threatened by forces who wanted to maintain control of these trade routes. One of them, to the north, were the Assyrians. The Assyrians were incredibly cruel, incredibly ruthless, and they were the ones who eventually came and decimated the 10 northern tribes of Israel. Further to the east, there were the Babylonians, another powerful people who had their eyes on Judah. And they came, and they too would take over the land and send the people off into exile. They had reason to worry. But the Spirit prompted Isaiah to say, "Do not fear." Instead, he said, "These are the things that you should do. You should say to those who are worrying, 'Look to the Lord.' You should go to them and strengthen them. Stand beside them. Give them, be the strength for them to lean on in the name of the Lord." He said that you should point them to God and that you should live in expectant hope that he will be faithful to his promises. We're not in this alone, you and I. We are confronted by a virus that many call fearsome. We have on our side the Lord God, who is not only the creator, he is also the provider and the one who loves us. My prayer for you is that you will look to the Lord, that you will find your strength in him, and together we'll give him glory. Amen.